Welcome to the fourth season of the Insiders Career Club podcast. We share career tips and advice from industry experts and me, your career insider, sharing how we achieved career success. Did you know that FeedSpot ranked the Insiders Career Club podcast in the top 25 as one of the best job search podcasts from thousands of listeners, social media, and for freshness? But we're more than job search. We're all about helping you have a meaningful career. It's Cindy Thomas, your career insider. You know me as an HR career professional in talent acquisition with a career spanning over 25 years. Are you looking for work or recently laid off? Don't just look for your dream job. Dream jobs come and go. I want to be your career coach throughout your career. Let's work together to find you your dream career. And if you need help with your job search for resume writing or practicing your interview skills, career planning, or if you need to make a career transition, work with me. I can help you. Schedule a free discovery call at www.insiderscareerclub.com. Now, coming up next is a Dynamite podcast. Stay tuned. Hey, Insider family, it's Cindy, and I wanted to introduce you to my special guest today. It's Carl Beckstrand, and he is an author that has been published multiple times, and he also is a publisher. Now, he's a former technical recruiter that pivoted into being a college media professor in 2004, but he also started and runs Premio Publishing, and they have over 200 multicultural offerings that reflect cultural diversity. Carl is passionate about literacy and using the arts to give people of all backgrounds a vision of their worth and potential. Let's welcome him into the show. Good morning, Carl. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Cindy. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it is. I'm really looking forward to our conversation because, you know, I'm an unpublished author, so this is going to be great. So let's start off with talking about, when did you realize you wanted to write books?
Well, that happened when I was getting my undergraduate degree in journalism and should have been doing homework. I was getting ambushed by story ideas and scribbling them down.
Oh, great. Yeah. You know, those ideas can come to you at any time. If you don't write them down, they're actually lost, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did you do about that while you were getting these ideas? Did you start writing then?
I didn't. I would scribble down notes and set them aside and think, when I'm old and retired, I'll see if I can get published. But it's interesting because as a kid, I didn't like to read or write.
Oh, okay.
I stumbled upon some chapter books as an eight-year-old that transported me and were fun, and they weren't textbooks. Mm-hmm. And that kind of changed my mind.
Oh, really? Which books were they?
The one that really changed things was called Bicycles North, A Mystery on Wheels by Rita Ritchie.
Oh, that sounds like fun. It's not one I've read, but it sounds like a lot of fun. So share with us a little bit about your first journey into being published.
Well, that's an experience too. I met a local publisher here in a writer's group who read through some of my manuscripts and said that he would publish one. And he got an illustrator and he got everything set up with a printer. And the day we were going to print, he passed away.
Wow. That's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
You have your end and then it just went away. So what happened after that?
So it was a huge learning experience, obviously. And his widow was so magnanimous. She shared with me everything she had that she could to help me to know how to market my book and get it to the right organizations, and really got a crash course in publishing and marketing.
So did you get published at that time or did you end up self-publishing?
I ended up self-publishing that one. And then I worked with one other publisher on another book and soon learned that it was better to control, for me to control the content and the marketing and the money. So after that, I self-published everything.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that. You know, I can remember, you know, years ago, you'd see these stories about, you know, in a movie or whatever, individuals getting published, you know, they're selling their book and, you know, the publisher does everything for them, but that's not the case anymore, is it? Even if you do sell your book to a big publishing house, that whole, we're going to do everything for you, isn't the same as the way it used to be. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And to be fair to the big publishers, they learned early that the best marketer for a book is the author. And so even, you know, 50 years ago, they would have the authors be the main marketer for a book.
Yeah, I think what I was kind of trying to allude to there was that they used to set up things. Like they set up the book readings at a book, at a bookstore. Well, we don't really have bookstores anymore, per se, like we used to. Not so many of them. But, you know, they would set up the opportunities. The author set up the opportunities and the author would go and, you know, do the meeting or whatever.
Right. Yeah. They would do the press releases and the posters and all that. And they still do that a little bit, but they don't do much. And that's, in my mind, a huge mistake because I still market my very first books as if they're brand new and they still sell.
Yeah. I know it's pretty tough. Do you find that people read as much as they used to for entertainment?
You know, it's hard to say. I think people have gravitated in a huge way toward audiobooks and podcasts because it's something they can do while they're doing other things. So I don't think that fewer books are being digested. It's just maybe how they're digested.
Okay, yeah, they're getting ingested another way or in different forms, which is fine. But the book still has to be written or they wouldn't be able to do the audiobook. So.
Right.
Yeah. So talk a little to the traditional publishing, what it is, and the difficulty in getting a book editor's attention.
So yeah, today, in order to be published by one of the big publishing houses, they almost never accept direct submissions anymore from authors. They only look from book agents, literary agents. So what I recommend to people who want to go that route is be prepared to have it take several years if you get published at all. And what you do is you find books in your genre that have done well and you find out who the agent was for that book. And then you contact the agent and you see if that agent has any availability. And then the agent has to like your work. And then they have to shop your manuscript around to the publisher. And that may take months and years. And then you may get rejected. And but still, if you've done your homework and you've got a good agent and they believe in you, your chances are higher that they'll get you to a publisher and the publisher will actually see your work and like it.
Okay. So let me talk to you a little bit about, sometimes people just say, I'm going to write a book. And, you know, they don't really think too far past just the idea. And I think when you're deciding to write a book, you have to write not just to share the experience, but for an audience in mind. Is that not correct?
Absolutely true. Yeah, because I was just listening to someone just a few minutes ago who was talking about how authors often write books that people don't want to read. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sign that the writer didn't have a specific target reader in mind as they wrote.
Okay. And I also think, too, it has to do with not being aware of what is selling in the market and what the marketing trends are. And the only way to do that is to get yourself immersed in a writer's world and get yourself associated with the different associations at the level that you plan to write for.
Sure. Yeah. In fact, there are some specialized writers groups, you know, specialized towards romance authors or for children's book authors or whatever. And yeah, you rub shoulders with people in your genre, then your work will be better. You'll find beta readers in those writers groups who will help your work be excellent.
Right. And I know, too, just from my own experience, because I have, you know, tried to delve into the writing world at a children's perspective, that when I would go to the conferences, they would have a special time set aside to kind of let everybody know. They did a good job. They would let people know where the editors moved around. So if they're no longer with this house, they're with another. And then they would also talk about what's trending. So if you wanted to write something, you could know or would know that you were on target for what the publishers are looking for.
Well, I can see the wisdom in that, but I also kind of feel like a true writer has a message inside of them that just has to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often regardless of what's trending. I've seen a lot of authors write a lot of vampire books, you know, when vampire books were trending. Mm-hmm. And I think readers know that, oh, you're just writing this because it's the popular genre right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it really needs to come from within you. It really needs to be your baby, you know?
Mm-hmm. You just really have to have a penchant for it, right?
Yeah. I get like, in a lot of interviews, I talk about being ambushed by ideas because that's really how it happens. They'll wake me up in the middle of the night. I'll have to write them down or they won't leave me alone.
It's true. It's very true. So let's talk about, let's say you go through all of that, you write the book, it's sold. Talk about the timeline for a book release, because even in the world of a technology, which makes things happen faster, talk about the timeline just for a regular hardbound book and then what it might be if it's different for a digital book.
Sure. So, of course, the manuscript will be about the same for whether it's an ebook or a physical book.
Okay.
Or an audiobook. But yes, depending on your genre, the time length really is based on that and your writing style. Some writers will sit down every day at the same time and write just a little bit. That's kind of my method, is every day I'll get my butt in the chair at the same time and mm-hmm. do some writing or some research before I do any other activities like marketing or accounting. And so the length of time depends on, you know, how quickly you write and what genre you're writing in. For example, I had a children's picture book that I wrote in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That was polishing and getting an editor.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I wrote a nonfiction book that took about a year and a half to write and another 8 months to get fully edited and laid out.
Okay. And then for the actual, once it goes to press or is sold, you know, that I guess from the time that you sell a book, it goes through all the editing and that whole piece of it, but then it's got to go to the printers and be printed up and whatever else they do with it. So what's the estimated time for that? Because I know it's quite lengthy.
Yes. If you go through a huge publishing house, like I mentioned earlier with an agent, you know, plan on like 3 years, that's if you get published. You
know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'd be like a little over two years before you get an answer, you know, a rejection. So mm-hmm. that's hard. It's a hard process. But yeah, if you're self-publishing, you can do it much more quickly. However, you do want to have your marketing planning going on while you're writing your book. It needs to start as early as writing your manuscript. And you do need months and a year or so to prepare to have your book launched in an appropriate way that will get it recognized.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any, what's the right word? Are there any, I don't want to say surefire ways, but consistent ways that will help you, you know, consistent places to market, consistent ways that will help you get your book sold or recognized and have the.
Yes. So one of the best things you can do, of course, is hire a professional editor. Even if you have a cousin who's an English major, hire a professional editor. Make sure it's a quality book.
Okay.
And then, you know, if it's a quality book, then you can move on to these other steps. And one of the best things that can happen for sales is to get good reviews. And you can do that by asking friends and people and associates to look at the manuscript before it's even published.
Okay. And get ideas about that.
Then another thing is if they love the book, then they will promote it. You know, some people won't be able to help but promote your book, you know, if they love it.
Yeah, that's true. We talk about it. Hey, yeah, you know, if you really like something, you tend to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How can you, well, actually, I think we've already pretty much talked about that, you know, the publishing trends and how to learn them. Mm-hmm. Now, your publishing company specializes in diverse books. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why
sure.
you decided to do that and some of the publications that you've published?
Sure. I remember as a kid, I grew up in Silicon Valley, which is a very cosmopolitan place. You know, people from all over the world lived there. Mm-hmm. I remember reading children's books and seeing lots of white kids and thinking, well, that's not the world that I see around me. If I ever write a kid's book, I'm going to make sure it represents the real world.
Okay.
Then I lived in South America for a couple of years and learned Spanish. And yeah, when my first publisher picked up my book and got it in the process for publishing, and I asked him, I said, can we do this in Spanish? And he says, oh, I don't think that would sell very well. So one of the weird blessings of him not being in the picture anymore was that I was able to stop the printer, redo the book, and do it bilingual. And so many of my children's picture books have Spanish and English text with a pronunciation guide for each language.
Oh, neat. I was going to ask you how you did that. Did you do two separate books or was it all combined? Okay.
Well, it gave me more options. For example, I published it in English only, Spanish only, and bilingual versions, because a lot of educators like single language books for the
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And so talk to us a little bit about, because you have over 200 titles, right?
Well, I have over 225 products. I've published, okay, of my stories, I've published 27. But again, when you have language versions and ebook and audio and hardcover and softcover, that multiplies the products.
Okay. True enough. Okay. So what are you working on now? What's coming down the pike?
Another book of short stories. I have one out called Horse and Dog Adventures in Early California. And I'm going to do kind of a sequel to that, Dog and Horse Adventures.
Okay. So from the dog and horse perspective?
Yeah, it's stories that involve horses or dogs.
Okay.
I'm an animal lover.
Okay. I normally have my dog in here, but because when he moves, he makes noise, he's not in here with me, but I'm pretty fond of him too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, because there's lots of different, not just methods of writing, I don't want to get into that, but there are different genres and vehicles for writing. So you could write fiction, nonfiction, you can write for periodicals, newspapers, broadcast media, for film. Can you talk a little bit about some of the different areas and maybe how they differ from one another?
Sure.
Get an idea?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Those genres are just multiplying and multiplying and getting more and more niche and reader specific. And it's quite an interesting and challenging world as far as marketing goes, just selecting the appropriate categories for your book on Amazon.
Okay.
They're getting so specialized. So there isn't just like romance novels anymore. It's like Regency, you know, they have like all these different categories just for the romance novels or the crime novels. And then there's, of course, all the nonfiction. So, yeah, and each is its own animal. In fact, book marketers will give you specific instructions on reaching your target audience. And it goes down as specific as going to Amazon, finding your really, really granular niche category, and then looking at all the covers and see what they look like. And they say, I don't totally agree with this, but they go as far as to say, if your cover doesn't look like these covers, your target reader won't find your book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, our world has changed so much that the marketing is so sophisticated, and that's what we're used to. And if we aren't grabbed at that level, I can see the truth in that.
Yeah. I'm sure there is truth in it. But the wonderful thing is there's always that breakout author who will have a totally new topic and will just get all kinds of attention, not looking like other books. So, you know, if you feel strongly about your message and how you present it, I say go with your gut. Of course, have professionals, professional designer. I'm not 100% on board with being a copycat to be noticed.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason for writing the book is some level of originality, right? So, yeah, I can see your point there. If listeners are thinking about writing, what would your encouragement be to them?
It's funny. A lot of people, when they learn I'm an author, will say, oh, I've always wanted to write a book. And I'll say, really, tell me about your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And often, too often, I will hear them say, oh, I don't have one. I just have always wanted to write a book. And I'm thinking, you're not an author. You're not a writer. Because I have file folders just inches thick, full of story ideas, so many that I'll never get to them all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as you tune into your creativity, the more it flows, right?
Yeah, true. But there's also, you know, everybody has a story inside them, because I believe everybody has experienced things that have taught them. And, you know, you make a message from your mess. And so on that side, maybe there's a nonfiction book in that person, you know, something that they went through, but that they learned from.
Mm-hmm. Or, I used to think about when I there was a point in my life that I was ill and I was very young, and my degree is in kinesiology and physical education. I was a teacher. And so I thought, well, you know, if this happens to anybody else, I want to write a cookbook. Because you kind of don't know what to eat once you get diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I never did it. My husband talked me out of it. And I'm sorry that I let him do that, because it would have been good to do at the time.
Well, you still need to be able to do that.
I think it's kind of been broached now. But, but, you know, at the time, I didn't know how to. I had a lactose intolerance and I didn't know how to do things without using real milk. Now we have all these soy and almond and, you know, oat milk and whatever else there is out there. But, you know, it's just changing your recipes to that. And I think there's a lot of that going on. But
that's interesting, Cindy, because you've broached something that few interviewers have asked me about. And it's, I believe there are muses. I think when an idea's time has come, it will come to multiple people so that someone will get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of gave an example of that. It's like, yeah, you were suffering and you were going through this thing and you were learning something. But at the same time, other people may have been suffering the same thing. And someone did eventually get a book out on that topic.
Yes, absolutely.
So what is it? He who hesitates misses out, or something like that. That's right.
He who hesitates is lost. Yeah. And so, yeah, I, you know, and then you see the book come out, you go, I should have read that book.
Isn't it nice, though, that important ideas do come out through someone? You know, even when the Wright brothers were developing the airplane, somebody in France was doing the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's like the, I don't want to call it groupthink. There's a, oh, God, I just lost it. But I do believe in what you're saying, that there is a universal consciousness.
Yeah.
And for people that are actually tuned into the universe. And, you know, we draw from the same source. And so therefore, we can get the same ideas. It may be broached in a different way, but it's still around the same subject. So yes, I do agree with you on that.
Yeah. So my advice for someone who wants to get a book out is do it now.
And don't let anybody talk you out of it.
Yeah.
My advice.
Yes.
You'll always get the people that will poo-poo your idea, you know. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the conviction and strength and belief in yourself to go ahead and do it.
Yep.
I was very young, so I didn't have that, but I'm glad somebody got it out there.
Yeah.
Well, if someone wants to learn more about your publishing company and the books that you've published, where can they go to find out more?
So my website for most of my products is kidsworldbooks.com.
Okay. Kidsworldbooks.com. All right. I will make sure that that goes in our liner notes so that people can find you if they would like to. Well, Carl, it's been delightful talking to you this morning. I'm so glad we were able to still
connect.
You know, today. Yeah. And I just appreciate your time and your wisdom so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the interview.
All right. Well, thank you. I am going to sign off and let you get back to your day.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Cindy. This was a pleasure.
Oh, mine as well. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening today. Your support's a blessing. And if you enjoyed the podcast, give us a positive rating on Apple.
Now, my podcasts are released every 2 weeks on the first and third Wednesdays. I need your support. Keep listening and share these career-changing, elevating podcasts with your friends, coworkers, and family. In addition to the major sites, you can find them on my website at www.insiderscareerclub.com. Do you need career help? I can help you get yourself on the right career track. Sign up for a career coaching call with me today. Now, before you go, let's speak victory over you. You've got a bright future. Good breaks are looking for you. The right people and divine connections are headed your way. And new doors are about to open for you. Believe it and stay open to it. Until next time, take care.